taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 10th day of February 2025. And tonight, my very well-informed co-host is none other than Kenny.
Good evening, Pastor.
You ready to roll tonight, my friend?
Always.
Yeah, I know. You're right on it. And so, it's called kicking it with Kenny, huh?
Kicking it, yeah.
We're getting it. Now, we got to start with a prayer, though, tonight, because I got a prayer request. There's a woman's called Sophie. Or Sophie, not Sophie, Sophie. She's unsaved. She's an elderly woman, and she's very ill, very, very ill. And she's refusing to go to the hospital, and her family is just, they're beside themselves. And so, because if she was to die, she'd burn in hell. She has not been a very nice woman, and her family's doing everything they can for her, but again, they don't want to see her die and go to hell. So they've asked if we would ask you folks out there all across the country to join with me, because there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer, and if you join in, and you do, you know, just like it says over there in the book of Jude, you might keep somebody out of hell. So join in with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord, we want to just hold Sophie up, Lord, and ask whatever it takes. Lord, whatever it takes for you to bring that woman to repentance, Lord, we would ask that you would do that, because, Lord, we know that if she died today, we know she's an unsaved woman. I talked to her one time, and it just, she doesn't like pastors, for sure. So, Lord God, we just would ask you would bring her to repentance, whatever it takes, Father God, so that when she dies, she doesn't end up burning in hell. And Lord, we ask that you be a comfort to her family, who are saved people, who are doing their best and have really, really, really had to be patient with Sophie. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. We're going to pick it up where we left off tonight. Well, actually, we're going to, now that we're going coast to coast again, the title of the message was Babylon Has Fallen, and there's four examples in the scripture. When you start with Babylon, the first one that led a rebellion against, you know, trying to the world rebellion against God was who? Was Nimrod. Remember Nimrod?
Yes, that's right.
In the Tower of Babel. And remember what he wanted to do? He wanted to build that tower up and to reach into heaven.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to shoot God with his bow and arrow. I don't think he did it.
I don't think he thought that through too well.
No, He was a hunter of men. Nimrod was a hunter of men. That was his sport, to hunt down and he was a wicked, wicked king. And then the next example is where we're going to be tonight, where we start tonight in Babylon, is when Cyrus, this was the zenith, when Babylon was at her zenith, when Cyrus became king, defeated Nebuchadnezzar's army, and set the captives that were taken into the 70-year captivity, set them free. And so here, and that's where we'll start tonight. Then you had also what we saw, a type. Now, this, we're dealing with types and shadows, too. I should have mentioned that, types and shadows. And that's what these are. These are types and shadows. And we take a look at 9-11 and Revelation 18. When we get to that, that was what a very clear type. And then what's happening right now, when we finish, we'll be talking about what is taking place today, not only in America, but in Israel and other places.
And that's almost like a warning, right? Like kind of like a, like on a smaller scale?
Well, yeah. When you see it, types and shadows, again, we mentioned there's a lot of different types in the Bible. For example, the ark was a type of Christ because there was salvation found in the ark. Mm-hmm. The flood was a type of the rapture of the church, because the people were taken up off the earth, up into caught up into heaven in the ark. And then, so you're seeing all of these type of things. Same thing with the parting of the Red Sea. These are all types. And so here, in other words, he's showing us, you know, on different levels, on many different levels. And so we start tonight in, actually, the last verse of Isaiah chapter 44. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all these pleasures, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. And so, starting with verse 1 in chapter 45, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now, here's the amazing thing about all this, okay? Cyrus, he was the Persian emperor. He was named by God 150 years before he was born. And about 100 years before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, carrying the people of Judah into the captivity in Babylon. Okay, so the Persian Empire still later conquered Babylon, and Cyrus became emperor, fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy in Ezekiel 1:1-4, and about 175 years after Isaiah pronounced it. So only God could do something like that, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
He says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord, and will call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. So what is he telling Cyrus here?
He's saying that he will clear the path.
Exactly. Don't worry about it, okay? Mm-hmm. I not only have your back, I got your front, too.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And And he's not just telling Cyrus this. He's telling all of Israel that there's going to be, here's what God is going to perform. You're going to have this man, Cyrus. I'm going to give him a name now. And sure enough, exactly, everything came out exactly the way God said it would. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Well, no, he hasn't known him because he hadn't been born yet, huh? I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So he's kind of making a pretty clear statement. Do you see in these statements a challenge to all of those out there that are supposed to be gods, all of these so-called gods?
Oh, absolutely.
And so,
yeah, he's sitting there pretty much saying, there's no one else. Don't even think about worshiping anyone else, because there's no reason to.
So there's a message going out to Baal. You're not real, Baal, okay? There's a message going out to all those so-called
It's not even going out to the gods, because they're not real. It's going out to these foolish people who are worshiping these false idols.
All of these, that's right. All of the heathen nations, huh?
Yeah.
And so he goes on to say, I form the light and I create darkness. Now, he says he forms the light and he creates darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do these things. So he said he forms the light. Why didn't he say he created the light?
Because he is the light.
That's right. He is the light. And what is darkness?
Absence of light.
That's right. And so then he says, and I create evil. You think he's talking in the moral sense or the physical sense here?
I think he's talking about in every sense.
Well, actually, he's talking about the physical sense here, really. He says, drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his makers. Let the potsherd strive with the potter. The potsherds of the earth. Do you know what the potsherd is?
No, actually, I was just about to Google it. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know that one.
It's like a broken piece of a clay pot.
Okay,
that's what they used to remember. Job used that to scrape the boils off himself. And so he's making a point here. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makes thou or thy work? He hath no hands. In other words, he's making a point there, you know. Your God has no hands.
They can't create.
Right. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? We talked about that last night, huh? We've heard kids say, well, Jeremiah says over in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was feeling pretty low, he said to the Lord, why did I ever have to be born? Why did I ever have to be born? Why did I have to come into this world? Couldn't I have just died in my mother's womb, and that she would have always been my grave? And I've heard kids say, well, in fact, I heard an ACLU lawyer, later becoming a judge, actually telling high school seniors that you did not ask your parents to bring you into this world. They didn't get your permission. You owe your parents nothing. This is what this woman was saying, that she didn't know I was recording that, okay? And I took it to the airwaves.
Nice.
You owe your parents. So if your parents go through your dresser drawers or your closets, your personal items in your room, they have no business being in your room. You can call us, and we can help you get divorced from your parents. I'm not kidding you, yeah. And
the only permission that was needed was given from God.
Absolutely. See, God, when God gives us the child, he places that child in our custody, and God holds us responsible for how we raise that child, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
And so here, not the crooked, corrupt government or state or our corrupt judicial system. He goes on to say, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I have, even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Now let me do this again here, because here, let's see what this does. Is this a clear statement of direct creation, or does this in any way present some kind of an evolutionary process?
I think it's absolutely contradicts any evolutionary theory.
And you know, it's an amazing thing, because I've heard these professors, and I've talked to some of them, who have made these statements that I believe the Bible, but I believe God used evolution to create. And if you believe God, God's either telling the truth or he's not, right?
Yeah.
And he said he made the earth with his hands. He created man upon it. With my hands, I've stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. That don't sound like evolution.
No, not at all. And why would he even do that when he could just think it into existence?
Right. And so these people have... Do you know what it is? Do you know why I think it is? Okay, here's why those out there don't really want to believe in God. They say they believe in God, but evolution, they don't really, really want to believe in God. Somehow there's a mindset, if they don't believe something, it can't be applied to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a foolish concept, isn't it?
Extremely foolish.
Like, what if you say, well, you know what? I'm not going to adhere to this law of gravity. Right? Okay, I'm just not going to let it affect me.
Yeah.
And so
I won't let it keep me down.
Yeah, that's right. But if you step off a bridge, you'll go into the water, won't you?
You're still going to drop.
Yeah, yeah. Their theories are flawed, aren't they?
Just a little bit.
He says, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall go. He shall let go my captives, not for price, not for reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come over there and chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication to thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. It's, in other words, sounds like God's going to give them victory through Cyrus over all of these nations, huh?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
You know, that's what he did, didn't
yep.
it? That's exactly what happened. Verily, thou art a God. that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go into confusion together, and they are makers together. They are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed, confounded. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. What is the message there? Because there is a real growing amount of anti-Semitic people, and I'm talking about within the church. I'm hearing a number of professing Christians here that have really turned against Israel. Okay, people that, you know, we would used to have had on the radio program, all of a sudden become very anti-Israel, and I don't know. It's
odd for someone to kind of flip their position like that.
Well, God's making it pretty clear how He's going to end with Israel. Now, I mean, Israel, like America, is a very, very corrupt nation. America and Israel both, they're corrupt, okay? But He's telling us how that's going to end. So what does God say? What is the message that He gives to people about judgment? Because he's making it clear. He said a message to the nations that He will judge Israel. That He will judge Israel.
Yeah.
Okay. He's very capable of doing that, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Okay.
So the message to us is: look, we realize that today, and I know I've been to Israel. And like America, they have very high prostitution. They have one of the highest. They had the largest sodomite rally in the world. And they have a lot of abortion, just like in America, and a lot of pornography, just like in America. They have a lot to repent of. But God says that He'll judge them, and for us to keep our hands off of her, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and so, in fact, He says that those nations that are a blessing to her, He'll bless. Meanwhile, he's got everything in hand, and under Biden, America was going more and more anti-Israel, weren't they?
Yeah.
You had all of these anti-Israel protesters and marches and all the college campuses.
Yeah, they would talk a good talk, and then when it came time for action, they'd completely flip.
Yep, you're right. All righty, we're going to stop there and go to a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
A Quaker man whose name I will not mention went out to milk his cow early one day, but that old cow acted like it had a demon. With its tail it slapped that Quaker in the face, and he said, "Cow, thee know that I am Quaker, and anger is a thing that's not in me. And cow, thee know that I am patient, but I could use a little help from thee. Hold thee still," he said, and slowly started milking. And things were going real good for a while. Then the cow stepped in the bucket and she spilled it, and on that old cow's face there seemed to be a smile. And he said, "Cow, thee know that I am Quaker, and anger is a thing that's not in me. cow. They know that I am patient, but I could use a little help from thee. Time and time and time again he tried to milk her. You might say there was some tension on the farm. Then the cow mooed out real loud and then she kicked him through the air and through the side of that old barn. He lay there and tried to pull himself together. He looked up and said, "Thee know I've tried my best." He could see the cow through the big hole in his barn. And with a different tone of voice, the Quaker said, "Cow, thee know that I am Quaker. And anger is a thing that's not in me. But now I'm gonna sell you to a Baptist. And they're gonna beat the devil out of thee. I believe they have a day they call homecoming. And I hope they make hamburger out of thee."
There you go. That was the great Danny Ray. Danny Ray, I think he wrote over 300 songs. And
Song that was.
Yeah. Danny and I were friends for many, many, many years. He used to come out to all the fundraisers for this ministry. And he passed away about a year ago. Went home to be with the Lord. And so, you know, it kind of reminds of that song of Me and You. You'd be the Quaker, and I'd be the Baptist.
Who's the cow?
The cow was the loser in that one, huh?
Yeah. Yes, certainly was.
All righty, very good. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt delivers a brutal reminder to Democrats melting down over USAID, shutting down. Why do you think people they're so upset about exposing all of this?
Well, I can't figure it out for the average person. For the politicians, I understand. I mean, that's their gravy train. That's their, I mean, they're obviously in, you know, allegedly, however you want to say it, you know, getting kickbacks and doing some shady stuff through USAID. But that's why they're fighting so hard, because they're part of the corruption. If you ever want... You ever want to expose corruption, you know, start exposing it and then wait to see who speaks out against you first. And 9 times out of 10, there's your culprit. But for the life of me, I can't figure out why the average, quote unquote, Democrat would be upset with this, or just the average American would be upset with this. Like, why are they more upset at Elon Musk for showing the corruption and the fraud and the waste than the people who are committing the corruption, the fraud, and the waste? It doesn't make any sense.
I can tell you why that is, because, for example, here, $20 million given to Iraq for a Sesame Street show, okay? And Senator Coons, you suppose Senator Coons did that out of his, just out of the goodness of his heart, or do you think maybe something came back to him?
Well, it begs the question on how much money actually made it to Iraq for this Sesame Street show.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Ukraine. Zelensky came out and said that there's around $100 billion that is unaccounted for right now.
Ukraine's been the money laundering capital of the world. You can ask, of course, the Bidens. You can ask John Kerry. You can ask Mitt Romney. You mm-hmm. can ask all of these guys. They know exactly how that works.
See, and that's nothing new either. That's been, quote-unquote, known for, what, a decade now?
Yeah, but you see, they've had what was called the mainstream media, who got their piece to keep that down. Their job was to keep it down. Now, all of a sudden, they don't have the mainstream media, okay, because the media is not mainstream anymore. In fact, it was ironic today. The left has been just beside themselves because there's a guy on CNN, one of their anchors, and he did something that you'd never do. He told the truth about what Trump was doing.
That had to be Scott Jennings.
He came out and he was saying, it was the younger guy, and he was saying that, you know, Trump is doing exactly what people elected him to do. He's really doing his job, and he is an amazing thing. And boy, I'm going to tell you that the Democrats said, we can't let this happen. We can't let this happen. And Trump keeps doing this. Look, the more they find out about this, you know, the more they find out about everything we've done, we'll never win another election forever.
No, then they're going to expect other politicians to keep their campaign promises.
Right.
They can't have that.
When they find out where all this money's going, they have to find out who it was, which of these politicians made the deals to get it done, okay? And so, $2 million for sex changes in Guatemala, $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt.
What?
Yeah, $6 million for not tourism in the United States, but tourism in Egypt.
Well, yeah, I could see why Egypt would need help with tourism. It's not like they've got any, you know, huge landmarks or anything that people might want to come and see, you know, so yeah. Oh, wait, they do. They've got all those pyramids and sphinxes and all that ancient Egyptian stuff. Yeah, okay.
What about $4.5 million to combat disinformation in Kazakhstan?
That's just another censorship program.
Yeah. Unbelievable. In other words, don't let people know the truth.
No, don't let them know the truth. And again, these numbers are extremely inflated. I'd love to see the final number of what it was, what these NGOs or these organizations, these groups or countries or whatever actually ended up getting. The final number, not what we said we're giving, what they actually got, and then to see the difference between what they got and what we put down in our books, and then find out where that money went.
Well, they usually work off about 10%.
Yeah, for the big guy.
Yeah, well, that's
the going rate, I hear.
Yeah, 10% for the big guy. And so, and of course, now, see, that's the other thing. No longer is that going to be. No longer can they keep doing these things like insider trading and everything out in the open. All of a sudden, people are looking at it, and you know they don't have the mainstream media to cover their tracks because the mainstream is not mainstream anymore. There's now more of us than there are of them.
Yeah, more people have woken up to the lies and misinformation that they have been spewing for years.
The question is, are they going to? Are people going to understand? Are they really going to get real? And with all of this, because you know Trump and Musk can't do this by themselves. And, you know the people in this country, the church has got to wake up and stand up.
Yeah.
And they've got to say, you know what? You know we're going to let's clean this mess up. Let's finish the job. And here, in fact, you know here's some of the things that. That the Trump derangement people, the woke out there, they're having heart attacks about, okay? Mark Zuckerberg orders Meta offices to remove all tampons from men's bathrooms.
What? Yeah. They actually have them?
Yeah.
Where's the headquarters?
No, this is Meta offices. They put the, and so here now, after Meta removed tampons from men's bathrooms and company offices buildings earlier this month, some employees started coordinating a quiet rebellion by bringing in their own, according to the report. Okay, maybe, do you think maybe like kind of a peace offering, we should send Chuck E. Schumer some tampons?
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, you know, we know Tampon Tim would like that.
What dinner was it where? I want to say Trump said something about how Schumer could still be after he wins. I think this was before the election. After he wins, don't worry, Chuck. You could still be the first female president.
Yeah. You know, but the strange thing was, I think he's finally totally lost it, because he was out there with all the screamers, all those screaming women, and they're screaming, and Chucky's singing, and he looked like he was just, just having the time of his life singing out there with these screamers. But here, anti-gay pastor may lose church to LGBT group. Here. New York pastor James David Manning. I've had James Manning on this radio program several times. Could lose his long-standing Harlem church over unpaid debt and a shelter catering to the homeless because lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queer youth are raising funds to potentially try to purchase the space in an upcoming public auction. How about that? That is amazing.
I just saw this. This was posted by Rapid Response 47, which is the White House's official Rapid Response account for the Trump 47 White House. They posted about 45 minutes ago that PBS caves to Trump and ousts staffers that they have closed their DEI office. PBS. Amazing.
Wow.
When you these are the people who admitted to lying to you because it's easier to lie to you. You know, when you start, you know, taking away funds and grants and stuff, people start behaving.
Yeah. Well, here's something here. Trump's definitions of male and female, I'm reading from the left-wing news articles. Trump's definition made of male and female are nonsense science with staggering ramifications. Here.
Ramifications.
Right. They're telling that to say that there's only two genders is not science at all. They're calling it, well, I can't tell you what they're calling it here. They're pretty upset here. They're saying that the order with the cumbersome title "Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government" instructs all executive agencies, including governing, education, health, housing, and employment, to use new definitions of male and female. I didn't think that was new. You know, I've been using that. I didn't even know that was new. Okay,
since the dawn of time.
Yeah, we've been using it for a while. Okay, Donald Trump could go after same-sex marriage. They say, well, there's no such thing as same-sex marriage. God gave us the definition of marriage, and it's between a man and a woman, a male and a female. What they do, God gave us that definition too. It's called fornication and adultery.
And an abomination.
Right. And so, boy, I'm going to tell you, here he goes. Trump administration tries to root out the gender ideology by banning trans people from using federal toilets. In other words, you don't want a guy with a beard going into a woman's bathroom, do you?
No. Not at all. Okay. I don't care if he's got a dress on. You use the men's room.
Yeah. See, now, to you and I, that's common sense.
Yeah, I know.
But to a Democrat, they don't have common sense. I mean, they just don't have, you know, things like this that apply. They think if you feel like you're a woman, you can be a woman.
It's opposite day every day for them.
Yeah. U.S. clinics have performed breast removal surgery on 180 girls under the age of 12.
Under 12?
Yeah, they're saying that that's not enough. That's not enough. They should. Oh, it's only been 180 girls under the age of 12.
These people need to be tried and convicted for mutilating the children.
You're telling me.
That's absurd. We don't even... We don't let them get tattoos because they're not old enough to make a decision, like a life-altering decision like that. Let alone this.
The Virginia Senate, listen, state senators adopt plan to protect abortionists who break laws. The Virginia Senate on Monday passed a bill that would block the extradition of abortionists who face criminal charges for committing abortions on women from pro-life states. This shield law, however, would not protect an abortionist who commits the abortion within the borders of the pro-life states. A Senate bill 1098 states, notwithstanding the provisions of this article, no demand for extradition of a person charged with criminal violation of the laws of another state. You know, these people are just unbelievable, these Democrats. They're totally lawless. They're totally lawless. Okay?
Wicked.
Completely wicked, okay? I wish I could get in that state legislator of Virginia, get them all in a room and lock the doors where they couldn't get out, okay? You know, and I could just tell you, I would just do, God's word does not return void.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't take me but a few minutes. You know, I remember when I had when I was called to open in prayer here for the Ohio State House, and I was reading from 1 Kings about I was reading from Matthew chapter 25 about those on the right and those on the left. And, you know, we talked about that. I prayed, you know, that these people, that Lord, you've told us that those that are on the left will be bound and cast into the fire. And there are people here today, those on the left, Lord, that need repentance. And I can tell you, you ought to have seen that room clear out. It was an amazing thing, and we got cheers from those on the right, but those on the left, they got out of there.
Yep.
And so
they don't want to be brought into the light.
No, they got God's word does not return void.
Nope.
And see, they could have run from me, but they can't run from God, can they?
No.
And so. Now, here, he goes on to say, the Senate debated a bill which also extended cross-gender treatments for 40 minutes, with Republicans expressing concern that minors will be sent the abortion pill without being seen by a doctor and without the knowledge of their parents via telemed abortion. Senator Mark Orenstein said that the bill provides an avenue to circumvent the laws of other states. These people are unbelievable.
Those things are dangerous, too.
Yeah. They want our children. Those
yeah.
People. Unbelievable.
Did you see Trump gave Hamas until noon on Saturday to release the hostages?
Yeah. He wants them all out.
Yeah, he wants them all out. Doesn't want them to trickle out little at a time. And he does say that, you know, Israel, you know, kind of takes the ball on this. You know, like they take the lead. But if it was up to him, he says. In fact, I got a clip of that. You want to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Should the ceasefire then be off?
Well, I would say this, and I'm going to let that be because that's Israel's decision, but as far as I'm concerned, if all of the hostages aren't returned by Saturday at 12 o'clock, I think it's an appropriate time, I would say cancel it and all bets are off and let hell break out. I'd say they ought to be returned by 12 o'clock on Saturday, and if they're not returned, all of them, not in drips and drabs, not two and one and three and four and two. Saturday at 12 o'clock, and after that, I would say all hell is going to break out. And I don't think they're going to do it. I think a lot of them are dead. I think a lot of the hostages are dead. I think it's a great human tragedy what's happened, how people can be that mean to do. I mean, the one guy was laughing when one of the hostages, he thought his family was alive, found out the family was dead, and his captor started laughing because he thought it was so funny. You know, this is a different group of people. No, I would say Saturday at 12, we want them all back. I'm speaking for myself. Israel can override it. But from myself, Saturday at 12 o'clock, and if they're not here, all hell is going to break out.
Should the ceasefire then be off?
Well, it's a... Well, you know, when Trump makes these statements, just like the thing with Canada about making it the 51st state and the thing with Greenland about mm-hmm. becoming a state, you know, that just, you know, didn't happen when he makes these statements. Long before they make these statements, they're discussing that with people in these countries. I mean, and even the statement that Trump comes out with and makes is agreed upon long before they do it.
Yeah, but another thing, too, with Trump is he always negotiates from a position of power, though, too. You know, to where he'll ask for, like, say he needs $50 from you. Well, he'll ask for $100, knowing that he'll go down to $50 and hopes to get 75, you know? You know what I'm saying? So he's always taking it, like, to that further step. But with him, it might be a bluff, but it might not be. And you don't know, and that's what scares people. You know? That's why it works.
Well, with him, it hasn't been a bluff. And
no.
That's the way, when you say it, you got to do it.
No, okay? but like, with the tariffs on Mexico, on Canada, you know, he says, oh, okay, fine, we're going to tariff you, you know, and like, oh, well, okay, well, then we'll tariff you, and he just kind of laughs at them, and then they realize, okay, he's going to tariff us, we better negotiate here. So, okay, we'll put that on hold for a month while we negotiate, but that's there, and that's what we're going to do if we don't work out a deal.
Well, that's true, but what they do also, you got to understand that when Trump does these negotiations, he says, okay, here, this is what I get. Now, here in this deal, you're going to get something, too. You're going to he always makes it a deal that where both sides come out better.
That's,
okay?
That's the best way to get a deal done.
Yeah. And so he gives them these offers, and, you know, take it, and you're going to come out ahead, or you're going to really come out behind. Okay, and so that's the way he does these things. But like I said, you know, even the statements that they make that before they come out, you know, in other words, for the constituents, like for Mexico, for that president, you know, for their constituents, you know, we're going to make this in such a way where you're going to benefit from this. We're not going to harm you, or we're going to make you look like you're standing tall. Okay.
Yeah.
He's given, you know, here in Canada, that fella had a lot of, he has a lot of things that, a lot of skeletons in the closet, and Trump is well aware of. Okay. And so here, it was a little different with him, but Trump's given him a way out. This is why he's already announced his resignation. Mm-hmm. And but there's a lot of things that corrupt deals that he, believe me, the Trump's well aware of that he does not want his people. Trudeau does not want his people to know about in Canada. Okay.
No, it's bad enough of what they do know about and what he's done to that country already.
Yeah. And not only that, but like I said before, you know, long before we heard anything, before Trump said anything about making Canada a state, you know, they were talking with the oil companies and the mining companies and all of these people that can make a major profit and who have some pull within Canada to, you know, to talk to their representatives. And this is a good idea, you know, so... but I know that there are people out there that are saying the deal, it's already a done deal. It's gonna happen. But I'm not so sure on that because there's more resistance, I think, than people know. Okay, but I know that there's a lot of people, and I think it would be a great idea for Canada and us. Okay, I think we would all benefit.
For the most part, but I mean, you got to kind of break it up. It can't just be the 51st state.
That'd be a big state, huh?
That would be a huge state. You might want to break it up into like four, maybe.
Do you know how many congressmen we'd have to have there?
that's another thing too. Is you're also adding Senate seats. You're adding congressmen and women, whatever. But you're adding all that too, and you got to think about, you know, these people did elect Trudeau, you know, so you might be adding a lot of lefties, you know, as well.
Well, the way that they elected them wasn't quite on the up and up. But yeah. Here's the thing, you know, instead of calling it a 51st state, just call it America, you know, North, you know, America, that we'd be a North America, Canada, and America, and actually even Mexico could be brought into that. That would be one big continent, North America.
Well, I mean, strategically, it makes a lot of sense.
For everybody. Everybody would benefit. Yes. Yeah.
Adding Greenland into the mix as well, yes.
Yeah.
100%. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, Greenland has really got a very strategic, because, believe me, China had plans for Greenland. Greenland is now more aware of what those plans were than they thought. So there's been a lot of negotiation going on there too, under the scenes. So we'll see what happens.
We're only 3 weeks in.
Yeah,
it's crazy how much has gotten done in these last 3 weeks.
Yeah,
like, it feels like we're in the second year already.
But believe me, the left does not want more and more stuff exposed. They don't want everything exposed, because they know a lot of them are going to go to jail, and it's going to go back to them. The people that were involved in cutting these deals, making all these things, wasting all of the taxpayers' money, and of course then the question is, how did so many of these politicians become so wealthy overnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they don't want people looking into that. We're coming up to a break, and when we come back from the break, boy, there's something that is happening out there that you folks ought to know about. I'll be right back after this with more.
Fight the fight, take the stand, light the light, feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.